I'm going to read now the gospel lesson from John chapter 10. The first 11 verses is the passage for this Sunday. John 10 at verse 1. Hear the words of Christ. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I'm the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10 is our scripture passage for the sermon. We will have a prayer. Lord God, we ask for your Spirit to enable us to receive the words you would have for us today. And we ask, Lord, that your word would be life-changing, that your word would be to us like spiritual food as it is, a spiritual food that we would have the experience of lying down in green pastures and by quiet waters, that our soul would be restored today. We pray that the preaching would be faithful and that you would be our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our passage, Jesus uses a very familiar picture in the ancient world, in the ancient Near East, to communicate who he is. And our Lord is the greatest communicator, the greatest communicator there ever is, there ever was. And here we have a very simple sermon of Christ. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. This follows the miracle of John chapter 9, where Jesus heals a blind man, and religious authorities of that day just rejected the whole thing. Now, how in the world could they reject it? Here's this blind man that everybody knew was blind from birth, and all of a sudden he can see, and yet the Pharisees just closed their eyes to this. And they wouldn't recognize Jesus for who he was, who he is today. And so our Lord uses this illustration. It's helpful to us who believe, and it illustrates the situation with people having two different understandings of who Jesus is. And so we have the picture of the shepherd. And we don't know much about shepherds, because in the ancient Near East, the people that owned sheep took care of them differently than people do today around here. But they would use two types of sheep enclosures in the ancient world. One was a rustic enclosure, which is mentioned in the latter part of our reading. And, you know, I see this when I drive down the road and the cattlemen have a temporary kind of place where they could gather the cattle, move them home in trailers, or haul them off to market or whatever. And then if you go to their farms, they have this more elaborate structure for holding the animals. And something similar to that going on here, where the more elaborate structure was near the city, where they would keep several flocks together. safe through the night using a watchman or a gatekeeper, depending on the translation of the Greek here. And so Jesus has this warning in John chapter 10, in the first 10 verses of the chapter. He warns about thieves and robbers. And we tend not to think about thieves and robbers. About a year ago, I was down in Northwest Iowa City, where our son is a pastor, and we had gone to the grocery store. We had gotten there, and my son and his wife took off for someplace. I can't even tell you where it was anymore, but we were assigned taking care of the children for a few days, and we needed to pick up some groceries, and so we did that in early morning. And since there was no coffee pot in the house, we had to stop at Scooters. You thought it was something else, didn't you? But they didn't have those in that town, so we stopped at Scooters and got a coffee. And then I pulled my billfold out, and I laid it where you do in the middle of a van. I was driving their vehicle, having taken kids to school that day. And we went home and drove in the garage, and the garage door went down and so forth. Later in the day, there was a crew working next door. I was not aware of this crew working, but as I went out later and the garage door was down and there was a side door not next to that house, it was on the other side. It should have been very secure, but the door wasn't locked. And later, I went to look for my billfold, and I couldn't find it. I thought, well, maybe I did bring it in the house. I grabbed the groceries and taken them in. But when I thought of it later, I went out to look, and I couldn't find it. And later in the day, we had to go to a football game, and so I was at the football game, and I got a call from State Farm. The name just went out of my tired brain right now, that, you know, does the communication for the company, and let me know that my billfold was found, and it was at the police station. And so I drove back to this town. We were at a different place for a football game or football practice, and drove back, and I thought, well, am I going to have to give a reward here, or, you know, I got my billfold, I looked, and I saw, no, somebody else had already rewarded themselves. And praise God, they left all my credit cards, and my Medicare card, and my insurance card, and all that was there. They just taken all the money. And I'm kind of an old school guy. I don't believe in just traveling with credit cards, because I've been in a few scrapes already where I needed cash. And so, yeah, that was gone. And it was found in front of the cafe. And so I know they had a good meal, or I should say more than one meal, and that's how that turned out. But I was surprised, you know, it was in a town where people didn't do stuff like that. And my son was quite surprised about it also. And I don't know how these people got that done in that short a time, but they apparently did. And I was just naive, I guess. And I think people get quite naive when they come to church. I felt somewhat violated by people stealing money from me. And, you know, it wasn't a good thing. But it's not as bad as when somebody steals the good things that God has for us in the gospel and denies them. Jesus warns three times in the first 10 verses here about those who are thieves and robbers. And he's talking about those who are going to steal from you spiritually. And we don't think about that when we come to church. We think we're safe. We think, you know, we're in a church. You know, it's one of these old names, you know, the names that were so associated with the gospel and for the last 300 years or better, and we're going to hear the gospel when we go to church. But so many times in this day and age, you can go to a church and be taught something else. God has spoken clearly in the gospel, and the devil is trying to confuse the situation. And he's going to offer you some alternatives. And so when you find yourself in a church like this, where the pastor is teaching something other than what Christ teaches, that person is a thief and a robber. And if you believe what some of these churches teach, you're going to lose your soul. And so Jesus is calling on you to have discernment. And so this is what you need to understand if you're going to live the Christian life. You need to figure it out. You need to be able to tell the difference between the true and the false. And so Jesus tells you that the thieves and robbers avoid the door or the gate. I tell you the truth, a man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. So if you see someone who is crawling over the fence to grab a sheep, that's a thief and a robber. And thieves and robbers avoid the door. They avoid the gate. And who's the gate? We're going to find later on the gate is Jesus. So false teachers are not about trusting Christ. They're going to try to get some other way. And it's not about you trusting Christ either. In verse 8, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. So the Pharisees were the contemporary example of spiritual thieves and robbers, people that were always opposed to Christ, even when he had healed a blind man. They should have been so, well, it was so obvious to them, but they wanted something else. And there are many current examples in our country today, and I've been to some of those churches, and I wouldn't be surprised if you have too, and they even have Christian in their name sometimes to fool you. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, beware of those who are dressed in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are hungry wolves. Well, so you can have Jesus in the Christian faith in your name, and some of the names of Reformation leaders even that were giants in their faith, great Christians, where people, you know, say this is our heritage, but in fact, if these people from the Reformation age, if they would show up today in those denominations for ordination to say, God's called me to be a pastor, they would be turned down because they don't follow the flavor of the day teaching. And so the motive of the thief is his own selfish interests with bad results for you. He comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And your life, it's your life, its purpose, its joys, and future are on the line. And so Jesus says, watch out. You got to have some discernment here as to what is true and what is false. And the important truth that we find in verse 11 is this: Jesus is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so in the opening part of the gospel, we have a multi-flock enclosure near town. So all the flocks would be put in the same pen. They would use a watchman who wouldn't allow anyone to steal, would run the gate, and the watchman would recognize the shepherds. So if you would come and you'd say, open the gate for me, but you didn't have any sheep, well, they wouldn't do that. The picture of the shepherd and his flock here illustrates our relationship to Christ. The watchman opens a gate for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. That's how they did it in the old days. They didn't have fences. They didn't have sheepdogs. They didn't have ATVs. They didn't have anything like, you know, we're familiar with. They had a shepherd. And the shepherd would call his sheep, and his sheep and only his sheep would come out of the pen and follow him because his sheep listen to his voice. And if we ever worked with animals, you know, cows even recognize the voice of a stranger. Dogs certainly do. Sheep do, and they were able to recognize their own shepherd. Now, the sheep picture, you know, we want to be part of the flock of God, but the idea of being a sheep is not very complimentary, because sheep, my father wouldn't even raise them because he had them, his grandfather would have them, and he just thought that they were just stupidest things ever and just wanted to die. And so he wasn't about having them really on his farm, except when my sister wanted a few for 4-H. That was the only time, but he just didn't want to have them. So the sheep are not very smart, but they've got a good habit here of following the shepherd, his voice, and looking to him. In the mid-90s, I saw this amazing scene up close in Israel when our tour bus was speeding down the road in traffic, and they had this practice on the tour bus that you had to rotate every day, two seats. And so my seat on that day was the second seat behind the driver. I sat right behind those that were suffering motion sickness, and so I had a front row seat that particular day. And we went by this flock of sheep, and it was close. I don't know, I would say no more than 10 feet away, there were 50 sheep. And if I had been driving the bus, I would have slowed down, because I wouldn't want to have like four or five dead sheep out in the road having messed up my bus. But this guy didn't slow down at all. We went by 55, 60 miles an hour, and this flock of sheep was sandwiched between two roads on a divided highway, and they had a shepherd. And the shepherd was in the middle of the flock, and the sheep by the road were looking back at the shepherd. Every sheep was looking at the shepherd. And the shepherd was watching when he would have opportunity to cross over this divided highway. It was an amazing picture of every sheep looking to the shepherd. And then we have in verse 3, the watchman opens a gate to him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. To me, they all look alike. But he knows each one. He knows us individually by name. And he leads them out. So we have a picture of daily guidance, not something you get on Sunday morning and then that's over, but daily guidance. And in verse 23, that is recognized. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, as he's recognized by the psalmist, God's care, and is praised. He's thanking God. Well, the voice of the shepherd is the word of God. It's the word of God. So it's not that we hear an audible voice, but we have the word of God. And so this is what Jesus is talking about. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. When we hear the word of God read, there's certainty in our hearts that this is the teaching of Jesus. And Christ's sheep follow, trust, and they obey that. They obey that. They follow him because they know his voice. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. And this is, in John's gospel, there's seven such sayings. I am, when he says, I am, That refers back to what Moses was told by God when Moses asked God his name. And God said, I am that I am. And so this gospel is using these sayings to show us that Jesus is God. So he is the good shepherd. He's able to care for us because he's God. And he lays down his life for the sheep. So that's the cross. And God's purpose is in the death of Christ is to die for his people. And the death of Christ brings deliverance to the flock. Now, Paul will tell us that the world is offended by the cross. But he was going to preach Christ crucified. And he was going to glory in the cross. That was his only boasting, was going to be in the cross. And Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So for the flock, the cross, the sacrifice, is our identification. And the flock of God then has some discernment. So you should be able to figure it out when people are telling you something that is not the gospel. And the sheep here are determined to follow the one true shepherd and to run from all false shepherds. And so in the Bible, a pastor is an under-shepherd. The word pastor refers to this idea of shepherding. And so if you are in a church where people are being taught the wrong things, what should you do? What should you do? Well, Jesus tells us, verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And so we have to be determined to run from all false shepherds. And if we know people who are in denominations where the battle for the Bible is lost, where the preacher does not preach the gospel, it's what Jesus tells you to do. Run. And Peter tells us that Jesus is our example. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. So as Jesus leads us, he's an example, and we should follow in his steps. And so Peter takes us to the cross in the reading today. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So when Jesus was insulted, he didn't call down curses. He did not retaliate. And he entrusted his situation to God. He prayed for these people who insulted him, and he entrusted his situation to God. And so Peter tells us that we should be willing to suffer like Jesus did. And in doing so, we'll be following the shepherd. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In the second picture that we find, the final point of the reading today, in verses 7 to 10, Jesus is a door, or Jesus is a gate. The country sheep enclosure, that rustic one that is out in the wilderness, is guarded by the shepherd, by him lying in the entrance. And so the sheep aren't going to get past him. Nothing dangerous is going to get past him the other direction, because he is the good shepherd. In verse 7, he says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. And so another I am, indicating Jesus is God. And the picture then, as we think about this, the Greek word can also be translated door or the gate. But it's the idea, if you enter through the work of Christ and the cross, you will be saved, because that's the way. And the door also represents the safety that Christ provides his people. He's going to keep out the intruders and the thieves. And in contrast to the thieves and robbers, Christ offers you the good life. And so when you get on the crossroads of life at times, when you are out of school and what are you going to do next? When you're about to, at the place, or you might be choosing a marriage partner, what are you going to do? Well, you look to the Lord and you understand what he's saying to you and how his word impacts your life. And really on from there, everything that you do, you look to the Lord for his leading. If you don't know the Lord, verse 9 is an invitation. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And so this is your invitation. Note the word whoever. If you want that, if you haven't been listening before, this is your wake-up call. And to realize if you've been following the wrong people, people opposed to the Lord, they only are doing this to steal, kill, and destroy. And they will rob you of eternal life. Christianity is not just a set of principles. Christianity requires daily trusting Christ. And to know that Jesus is our good shepherd who laid down his life for us, he is the only way to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this simple gospel word. We thank you that Jesus is all this to us. We pray that we would recognize the voice of a stranger, that we would not be naive to the thieves and robbers that are running around in the spiritual realm. We ask, Lord, that you would make us people of discernment, people committed to follow Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.